Down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what I consider to be a very serious issue today. Did you know in the state of Florida, we're the only state that has a right to kill bill that is law? 35 years, Lawton Childs, under his leadership, if you want to call his leadership, his governorship leadership, but Lawton Childs, with a dominant House and Senate of liberals and Democrats, about 35 years ago, passed the law that indemnifies doctors, hospitals, medical associations with any recourse from the citizens if they're harmed, hurt, damaged, injured, or killed as a result of malpractice. Now, the House and the Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that allows the citizens to have recourse. Senate Bill 734 and the House Bill 6017 merged and became a bill that is now has been voted out of the subcommittees and the committees and from the Senate and the House floor. It's a bill that's a clean bill, 5 pages, very short bill, very succinct, very direct. I read it verbatim. It allows you, me, and other citizens in the state of Florida to file suit against a malpractice by a physician or hospital or medical association. As all other states have laws that allow that. But in the state of Florida, it's been carved out that you can file suit for actual damages, but you can't file suit for your despair, for the loss of a loved one, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just read you an article or a portion of it. Headline, "Let's not race to the bottom. Let's make our doctors more and better responsible." The article reads this way. We heard in committee some testimony from some folks that suggested that there could be hundreds, if not more, cases added to the system if we repealed the current law. This would be a way to offset that and provide some balance in the equation. That's when they talked about trying to put a cap on the losses that you could sue for. Most of Clay Yarbrough's colleagues in the chamber disagreed that caps were needed. So evidently did the House. And it passed the House Bill 6017 without any limitations, with 104 to only 6 votes against it. House Bill 6017 and its Senate companion bill, Senate Bill 734, which Yarbrough tables seek to end the more referred to the Florida free kill law in 1990. Lawmakers expanded Florida's Wrongful Death Act to add more classifications, et cetera, et cetera. The rationale at the time was that doing otherwise would send medical malpractice insurance premiums skyrocketing and send doctors fleeing from the state. That would be the, that was the same reason Stuart, Republican Senator Gail Harrell, a healthcare information technology executive, said she couldn't support House Bill 6017. The unintended consequences of this bill are huge, she said. We have such a need for physicians in the state of Florida, and I can tell you, this bill, it's going to make it extremely difficult for any provider to come to the state of Florida when you see what is happening with the medical malpractice rates in the state. Senator Jason Pizzo, P-I-Z-Z-O, a Hollywood Independent, said the notion that doctors wouldn't be able to secure malpractice insurance was ridiculous. Noting that there's no separate insurance category that exists that exclude doctors who specialize in making sure that they operate on or treat people who have only adult children who can't recover damages under the Florida law. Let's not race to the bottom, he said. Let's make our doctors more responsible in the state of Florida. I'm in agreement with that. If we repeal the no-kill bill that's been in effect now since the mid-90s, and if we're the only state that has that, if we repeal it, does that mean that all of the doctors are going to flee from the state of Florida because of the malpractice insurance being so high? Ladies and gentlemen, malpractice insurance is high in every state. Doctors in states where they can be sued for malpractice are more careful in what they do and how they handle their patients, in my most humble opinion. In the state of Florida and 28 other states, a total of 29, during COVID, that had the immunity laws, I believe that gave doctors the right to kill. I believe that gave them a full free hand. In fact, under the COVID immunity laws in 29 states, it gave doctors incentive to find that you had COVID, to put you in the hospital because of COVID, because every physician got a bonus if he asked you the question, have you had your vaccination yet? He got a $50 bonus. If you said no, but give it to me, he got an additional $50. If the patient then was admitted in the hospital under the guise of calling it COVID hospitals, a patient going into the hospital during the dark, difficult, deadly days of COVID, the hospital would get somewhere in the neighborhood of $350,000 to $500,000, and in some cases, millions of dollars for treating that patient if it were designated COVID. It was a financial incentive to call it COVID and to kill the patient. If we have in the state of Florida a law that allows malpractice, and the physician knows that he cannot be sued, he knows that it's a ticket to get out of jail free, if you will, I believe the care will be lackadaisical and less intensive in protecting the patient. That's just my opinion. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? Are you in agreement with the bill that's been passed? Do you believe the governor should veto it? Do you believe the governor should sign it? Do you believe Christians, conservatives, and patriots in our state need to stand up, speak up, and be heard? Do you believe that it's something that we need to recognize that is going to be dangerous and damaging if we do not? Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. With this free kill law, we the citizens are prevented from being free to sue the doctor or the hospital for malpractice, to be able to receive compensation for the murder or disfigurement or the damage or injury to a family member. No corporation, no entity. Listen, why do we carve out the medical association? Because of so many high-powered, deep-pocketed lobbyists on their behalf. If you get in your car, you drive down the street, and you go through an intersection and you killed somebody, you can be sued. Your insurance company can be sued. They can take everything that you've got. If a person goes into a gun store and buys a weapon, he goes out and murders somebody, the family member of that murdered victim usually will file suit against the one that did the shooting, file suit against the store that sold the weapon, file suit against the manufacturer that manufactured the weapon, et cetera, et cetera. And yet somehow, some way, there's the mindset under with our political leadership out of the governor's office today that we do not need that kind of opportunity and protection and freedom in the state of Florida for those that were, whether it's accidental or otherwise, it's malpractice. And a life can be taken. There was a major article about a hospital in Tampa, Florida, where the man was going to have his leg taken off up above the knee. They took the wrong leg off. He had the opportunity to file suit, malpractice, for his actual losses, but not for compensation for the health and the strength and the freedom of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop the free kill law that's in the state of Florida. I believe Miranda's on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Isn't it amazing that we have these people that protect these entities that do nothing but victimize? It's amazing that anybody could come out, and I'm surprised at DeSantis, but I mean, just he does things I like and things I don't like, but I'm amazed that we have this mindset that is there, because I'm with you. I am the parent of a murdered child during the COVID scam,
deception, lie.
Mm-hmm. I am that person. My daughter was 27 years old. She was healthy, young, never had any health issues, was not overweight, worked out at a gym 3 or 4 times a week, and my daughter was murdered. And there's no other way to put it.
That's right.
There's no other way to put it. She was a mail carrier, and that's a very active, busy job. And I'll never get over it in many ways. I have to ask Jesus for help every day.
Amen.
But it is heartbreaking that families can't sue for the loss of the life of that person.
So, right.
I mean, they had a future that was taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken away, not by God, but by man. So
that's right.
I mean,
that's right.
We understand.
And Miranda, the whole point that you're making, the whole point that I've tried to make in this broadcast today is, just as 29 states, Florida being one of them, that had the immunity laws that protected doctors, hospital, and medical associations from having a liability for murdering your loved one, this law, and by the way, I'm totally shocked, I'm surprised, I did not know until recently when this all started to boil to a head, that the state of Florida is the only state that has this ridiculous protective law that protects doctors and hospitals and medical associations, gives them the freedom to murder a family member without any recourse whatsoever. I am saddened to see that. And Miranda, as you said, our governor's done a lot of good things. I tell people, when he does good, pat him on the back. When he does bad, pat him a little harder and a little further down. But we need to recognize that he, in my opinion, he's making an error. And Miranda, I don't know what your thoughts, but maybe the listeners are saying, well, what should we do? How should we respond? I said this morning, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to encourage our listeners to blow the governor's telephone up, to simply make it ring off the hook, to call, to email, to text, to anything that has to be done. There are a number of family members that have been on the trail of this now for at least since 2023, when they discovered the law was there, and there was an attempt in 2023 to overthrow the law and change it. That was blocked, and now finally it's been passed, and there are a number of families that are grieving, heartbroken, that our governor may veto this and prevent their from being a future benefit and protection for future families, that those families have not had that benefit and protection to be able to have redress for doing so. So, Miranda,
that's
I'm in
right.
full agreement. We need to recognize the problem, and it's our responsibility. We, the citizens, we, the people, should be represented by the governor, by our House members and Senate members, and not the lobbyists, not the big pocket, deep-pocketed corporate entities and those that stand to make mega millions. And Miranda, just as an illustration, Perhaps you've heard me say before, during the height of COVID, 21 and 22, that 1 year, 2021, 2022, Ascension's Hospital Group, the largest hospital organizational structure in the United States of America, but that 1 year, their net profit was 572%, highest that it's ever been in the history of medical associations in America. And it was because they did not have any recourse, and they had major mega financial incentive from the federal government to call it COVID and to kill the patient and be rewarded financially for doing so. And I see the same thing taking place with this governor saying that he's not going to sign the bill. He's going to veto it. So it deserves our prayer, our attention, and our telephone busy operation of calling, texting, emailing, and saying to the governor. And, of course, you can't get through directly to the governor. You can call his press secretary. You can call his chief of staff or leave word. But simply kindness, with kindness, say, please, please, please sign the bill. Sign the bill that will give protection for family members. Sign the bill, Senate Bill 734, House Bill 6017. It's a merged one bill. It comes out calling it the Senate Bill 734. And so our listeners need to get busy today calling the governor, texting, emailing, whatever methodology you use, and to call Clay Yarbrough and thank him for introducing the bill. Call Clay Yarbrough and ask him to press forward and encourage the Senate to override the governor's veto if he tries to do that. That's the action. That's the responsibility, I believe, for Miranda, that Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to take the stand and be obedient as salt and light. Miranda, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And keep looking up. I believe we have Santiago on the phone. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Yarbrough. Thank you for your program every day. Well, if they take that protection to us, that we cannot sue the doctors. All those doctors from all the countries that they are here, because they have a lot of doctors from other countries, Pakistan, India, South America, and some they are negligent, and they're going to come to this state because they cannot get sued. Then they can do whatever they want. It's like they make a lot of mistakes. It's like you say, one guy, they cut the wrong leg, you know. What are we going to do? We have to make sure that the people that we put in those positions, they make sure they work for us. They don't work for them. You know, that's my issue. And God bless you. Thank you for your program.
Santiago, thank you so much. You're exactly right. And I had not thought of it from that angle, but you're 1,000% correct. If we become and remain the state that allows doctors to injure, butcher, and kill the patient with no recourse from the public that's been harmed, damaged, and hurt, that causes physicians that have a lack of professionalism and ability in their medical profession, that would cause them to flock to the state of Florida to be in a position where they can have sloppy work, I hate to call it that, but sloppy medical work, thinking that I can do that and get away with it in the state of Florida. I can't in other states, because I go back to the fact, keep harping on the fact, that Florida's the only state, hear me, the only state that has this kind of law. I'm looking at a headline, "We've come so far. Families respond to the Florida governor's plans to veto the free kill bill." This article starts this way. "I'm really disappointed. We've come so far," said Sabrina Davis. "We're feeling discouraged, but we're not going to stop. We fought so hard for this," said Cindy Jenkins. "They're among families in Florida who aggressively fought to end what they've long dubbed Florida's free kill bill or law. For the 35-year-old law, known formally as the Wrongful Death Act, prohibits families from suing for non-economic damage." That's the term. Families cannot sue for non-economic damage. "If an unmarried loved one, 25 years old or older, unexpectedly dies from medical negligence." In other words, what it's saying, and I think it's a little ridiculously worded, what it's saying, if a family, say mom and dad's got a 25-year-old son, but he's not 25, he's 26. So after he's 26, it's considered on the part of this law that the family shouldn't have any interest. He's 26 years old. He's no longer my child. He's no longer my kid. We no longer love him. And so because he's 26 and not 25 and less, we cannot sue the doctor of the hospital that took his life. That is the most ridiculous law that I believe could be put on the books. That's the most ridiculous twist of understanding that you could find. This further article reads, Florida is the only state with such a law on its books. For Davis, she believes the law has kept her from getting justice after her father died of an undiagnosed blood clot while he was in the hospital, end quote. She first understood this in 2023 and has been working diligently since then to try to get the law overturned. Here's another headline. Florida legislator votes to repeal the free kill law. The move is a victory for families who've been fighting to have the law repealed. The Florida legislature passed a bill that would repeal the state's so-called free kill law, a statute preventing families from seeking damages in medical negligence deaths. Florida's free kill law has been in place since 1990 and bars families from suing for non-economic damage. And that term, non-economic damage, that simply means what you have, the damage that you consider as pain and suffering is non-economic. So therefore, if you have pain and suffering and depression and a sense of my loved one is gone, I'll never see him or her again, that has no value as far as the state's concerned with the present law. And I'm just amazed. I am staggering with amazement that our governor does not sense and see that. My wife and I were talking about this morning. She said it's because he probably has not experienced anything like this, that he cannot personalize it because he's not seen it himself. And that could be correct. But families that have suffered the loss of a loved one at the hands of medical malpractice, at the hands of the deception of what was called COVID, with the deception of doctors and hospitals because of greed of money, willing to kill your loved one, murder your loved one in a hospital that's supposed to be there to help and to promulgate to health and to have that one regain the health, the life was taken. Ladies and gentlemen, this article reads, the move is a victory for families who have been fighting to have the law repealed. A last-minute proposed amendment would have capped the economic, non-economic damage such as pain and suffering to $500,000 for claims against practitioners, for $750,000 for claims against hospitals regardless of whether the patient survived or died. However, the Florida Senate passed the bill to outright repeal the law with no caps on it for damages with a vote of 33-4. The House overwhelmingly passed House Bill 6017 to repeal the law with a vote of 104-6. Now the bill is on the governor's desk. What will he do? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray that God will intervene and touch the governor's heart and get him to hear the hue and cry of the families in the state of Florida and not listen to the Medical Association high-powered, high-priced lobbyist that's been pushing him. I'm thankful for the House and Senate, ladies and gentlemen, that's passed the kill the free kill law. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, altogether we have to have the governor to be able to say, I'm going to sign it. Or leave it on his desk for 15 days. Let it become law. It's either 15 days or 30 days. I think it's 15 days. He can just ignore it, and it becomes law. That's okay. He could have his hands free and say, well, I didn't sign it. That's okay. But at least it'll become law. But I believe it's going to take our calls, our texts, our emails, and messages to the governor's office and ask him to please, please, please sign the bill. I'm looking at a headline. After years of failed attempts, Florida lawmakers repeal what critics call Florida's free kill law. Families have long advocated for the repeal of the Wrongful Death Act. Quote, I've never asked for a fight, but I know my dad is so proud, said Sabrina Davis, who couldn't hold back her tears when interviewed. It's been 5 years since she lost her father, and 5 years since she started the fight to repeal what critics have long dubbed the Florida's no-kill law. October 15, 2020, a day that I don't ever want to relive again, but I'm so happy to say that legislators did the right thing in passing this bill. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hi, my name is Terry, and I just called Tallahassee Capital for the phone number for Ron DeSantis. It's 850-717-9249. And when I get done talking with you, then I'm going to call it up and bug him. And I have reason to believe that my dad also, he lives in Oregon, but that he died of complications of COVID. Because he's healthy and all that stuff, but he was old. He was, I'm sorry, Dr. Youngblood, but he was like 83, something other, 83 or whatever. But in a week and a half time from having a lot of blood fill up his stomach and everything, that they said he is dying of cancer, and it was going up to his head. And within a week and a half, he was dead. I mentioned to my mom, but she, it was too late because a couple years before I mentioned it, she had already had him cremated. And a lot of people have a blasé, oh, well, he's dead, he can't do nothing about it. You know, they have, it's like you're dealing with a lot of people that have no thought, no heart. Like you say, maybe DeSantis never had, which is my opinion, nothing of this sort happened to him or his family, so he's not being serious about it. Like, oh, you know, he should. So I also agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, that he should sign this to get rid of that bill so that we can stop all the other flunking doctors from flocking to Florida to do malpractice.
Terry, you're exactly right, and you're on target with what you're saying. I believe that it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as citizens. Do this for me one more time. Slowly repeat the number that you call to reach the governor's office for our listeners to be able to jot that down.
The number is 850-717-9249.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that Terry called and gave that number, and I believe that it is the right thing to do as we understand what God says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to choose life. Terry, thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll get on the telephone, email, text, or call the governor's office. Be kind, but be direct. Please, Governor, please, please, Governor DeSantis, sign the bill. Let the bill become law to protect we the people and stop protecting the medical lobbyists in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600